it was a problem, yo, I saw him.
Where to your mother?
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Two Cool Moms. I am Joe Gatto.
I'm Steve Byrne. I know how to sit in a chair. Joe literally almost didn't make it in the chair.
I've seen you standing. You'd fall down.
That is true, yeah.
After you had a couple of years.
So. But you do it on purpose, whereas I do it like literally
accidentally.
Yeah.
Good to see you, buddy.
Nice to see you, buddy.
Happy 50th.
Happy. Sorry?
Happy 50th.
Is this it? Oh.
Here's your gift for our 50th episode.
Shut up.
I got you a little something.
I didn't even. Are you fucking with me?
No, I'm not. It's our 50th episode, and I got you a gift because that's the kind of person I am.
So this is. I didn't know we were doing this.
I know because I didn't tell you, and you don't pay attention to things. It should be. Is it hard to open?
It's okay.
You got it. No, you're doing great.
Oh, fuck.
This is our 50th. It's like trying to take a bra off when
Christmas
you were younger. Do you remember the first bra you took off? Okay, here you go.
The first bra I took off?
Yeah. I take mine off after a long day of work.
Well, my grandma, she was... Okay. Oh, hey.
You talk about your office a lot.
There we go.
And
this
I figured I figured we would get... I think it's...
Oh, that's great.
I think you just do this there. This whole thing comes out.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Oh, 50th. This is cool. Thank you.
So, this is... This is a picture, a photo of you and I,
yeah.
But this is printed on glass.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So it's
from
a company called Fracture, which I had found and I liked. And we always talk about your office. And I don't know if you have a picture of me up at your home.
I don't. I don't have anything in my house.
Okay.
No, I have stuff you guys, when we first hung out Bud Light Lounge.
Yep.
You guys sent me an Oasis album that says... Thanks for the laughs. Love the tenderloins.
Oh, there you go.
I have that up. There's one or two pictures up that I just, yeah, but this is awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so that is
cool.
That's a photo of you and I. It's that guy.
The photographer, by the way, does amazing work.
Best.
And he did a shoot for you.
Yes, Jonathan Thorpe.
This is great.
Yeah, he's fantastic. So that's our photo. Isn't that so great? That's such a relationship.
This pretty much says it all. This is the face you make when you edit the episode. You go, Steve, and it's like, Joe.
It's all right.
Joey, I make the funnies.
I put that down. There you go.
Thank you, buddy.
There you go, bud. 50. Look at us. Oh, give me that. We'll put that in the box because that's what you used to hang it.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It's awesome, man.
You got it, buddy. So 50, we made it to 50 episodes.
We made it to 50.
Some highlights. Let's talk about it.
Coming
up with the word bazonkers.
Bazonkers.
It's definitely one of my favorites.
It all started with Ying Yang Parmesan.
Ying Yang Parmesan.
Which is what it was almost. I still think that's crazy. That was almost what we called
it. What a
great
title.
And I think even after 50 episodes, I still wouldn't know how to spell Parmesan.
Yeah, I know. It's tough.
I've learned how to pronounce I say penne. It's penne.
Penne. Penne. It's penne.
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 It's penne.
Yeah. Penne alla vodka.
I was saying.
You're saying penne.
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 It's penne.
Penne.
It's penne.
Penne.
Penne. Penne.
You were saying penne. You were saying P-A-N-N-A.
I still can't get it right.
You know the dessert? Panna cotta. That's the little like...
Is it like a lemon cake?
Yeah, like a little cake thing. It's like a little like custardy thing.
Sure.
Panna cotta.
You know. Of course.
It's P-A-N-N-A.
Your analogies go to desserts.
Yes, that's of course. That's penne. Penne is P-E-N-N-A.
Look, I love doing the show, but I think my favorite... Probably my favorite memories the last 50 episodes have been... Because we've gone on the road together,
mm-hmm.
and just the meals are my favorite part.
Oh, for sure.
Just sitting around, hanging out, BSing, but just seeing how you order. Like, I've never seen anybody order appetizers at breakfast. That one, I forget, like Swedish place in, like, what was it, like Wisconsin or something?
Yep, the Dutch foot, what was it?
Oh, my God. Yeah, and that was somewhere we were just passing.
The wooden shoe. The wooden shoe.
You go, that looks great.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, okay, yeah.
And then my fatty sense was tingling.
Did it ever. And then you got that, oh my God, it was one of the best meals I've ever had.
Great.
And it was one of the best breakfasts I've ever had. And that's happened quite a few times with you.
Yeah.
And I consider myself a food, you know, look, I'd eat like an eighth grader, but I like to eat good food.
You
that
do.
Was one of the best meals I've had.
You do. Did you skip breakfast? You don't eat breakfast, so it's almost lunchtime. You getting hungry now?
Yeah, I stopped in at Essa Bagel, and it was one of those where you open the door, you're like, okay, we'll see you later. The line was just wrapped.
All right.
My God.
We'll get one soon. But that means we've spent about 50 hours talking to each other, give or take.
Yes.
That doesn't even include the road life or include all the time we've spent together
road
on the
life.
Phone calls or any of that. So 50 hours over about a year, right?
Yeah.
When did we launch this? I think it was about a year ago, right?
It's almost.
It's got to be. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we.
But you consider the fact that we did test. We literally, though, we did six episodes before.
Yes.
We never released them, nope. And we did it over Zoom. And then we went to your old apartment downtown. Mm-hmm. We recorded a bunch there. And that's when I think there's probably eight episodes that are just out there.
Oh, I wonder the Zoom ones. I forgot how this is.
Well, we the very first one, do you remember? The very first one you did, you called me immediately afterwards. You're like, yeah, I felt like I was being interviewed. Like you just had all these questions for me. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. I was just trying to do my homework. Right. You're like, yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah, let's have a conversation. Yeah.
But that's what you have to do. You have to find the voice. And then
100%.
I think it was you that came up with the minute you said Two Cool Moms, I remember it was one of those things like on the show. I just couldn't stop laughing.
For sure.
And I was like, this is going to be great. But it was also, it's one of those things where when I'm on the road or you're doing radio or whatever, and they're like, what are you up to now? I'm like, oh, I do a podcast with Joe Gatto from Jokers. And they're like, what's it called? I'm like, Two Cool Moms. Everybody always laughs. Two Cool Moms with Joe and Steve.
It's such a great title. It's a good title. So if there's 52 weeks in a year, I mean, we have to be.
There are.
Right.
It's not if, but.
Yeah, there is. You're right. I just checked the math. It all worked out. So that means we have to be coming up on our year anniversary.
Yeah.
Wow, 1 year of doing this. Why are we still doing it?
I have 2 weeks to get you something.
Yeah.
2 weeks to mark our first anniversary. Yeah.
Is it paper? Paper's our first year. When is glass photographs? Could you look to see when we posted the first episode of it? I wonder on the YouTube channel. If you're not subscribed at this point, I don't know what to tell you guys. I mean,
I don't know either.
There's not much more we could do about it.
There's so much we just give
of it. My sister Gina, she was like, hey, she started working out, you know, and she was like, hey, I listen to you on the treadmill every morning. And I'm like, oh, I was like, oh, she's like, yeah, I just started listening to you. And she's like, Steve's really funny. I'm like, yeah, I know. And she's like, yeah, no, I didn't, you know, I've hung out with him. You know, Gina, she's from Manalapan.
Sure, of course, yeah.
She's like, you know, I've hung out with him. So I'm like, oh, she's like, it's so nice, you know, to hear you every morning. I'm like, you could call me.
You are my sister.
Like, yeah, but she gets into it. So people, I think, have found it and just now are ripping through the episodes.
Yeah, my father listens on his bike. Hi, Dad.
He does.
I'll be riding on your bicycle right now. But he calls me and then he'll ask me about the episodes. I'm like, Dad, I'm sure you get it all the time with Jokers.
People remember episode? My parents are dead. They don't call me about the show. So thanks for bringing it up, bud.
March 1st, 2022 is the episode one of Two Cool Moms.
Really? Look at that.
We're ahead of the... Wow, okay. Well, we still have...
2 more weeks.
Yeah.
It's 52
okay,
weeks.
52,
We did every week.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah, we were consistent. I'm proud of us being able to get one out every week.
That's pretty cool, dude.
Wow. March 1st is our birthday.
Yeah, and who knew that I was... I could tell you it's my last episode.
I'm retiring. So let's leave it on the high note. Well, we haven't gotten there yet. Let's keep going until we get to the high note, and then we can talk about leaving. Oh, wow.
What has been a highlight for you?
I will say doing the live one was a lot of fun. So we just came off and did the live, our first ever live one in Nashville.
Yeah.
First live, Two Cool Moms. I thought it was so much fun to get out there and do a lot. I think people had a good time. Sold out crowd.
Total blast.
Doing it live was different because we had talked before the show and we said, you know, this show isn't always funny and that's not the purpose of it, right?
Sure.
Yeah. But we're comedians, so of course it's going to be funny eventually or at moments. But we've had some episodes where we get deep and talk about things.
Sure, yeah.
Which I think is very important too. And I think it's super important, especially at these times when everybody's dealing with stuff and needs help. So we were like, before the show, do you remember in the green room? You're like, all right, I just hope it's funny. I'm like, well, just because it's a comedy club, I mean, it doesn't have to be, it's funny. So then we went out and asked, you know, hey, who's listening to Two Cool Moms? And like three people clapped. I'm like, oh shit, we better be funny.
Steve, relax.
Don't worry about it. These people here,
fans.
They know what it's about.
They get it. Yeah. I mean, scan.
It's like,
there's like one up in the attic, and she's like, that's and then he's like, oh, shit. Let's everything we just discussed,
whoop, out the window.
Yeah.
But we did like almost, well, how long was it? Almost 2 hours?
Almost 2 hours, yeah.
That was great.
That was a complete blast. And I think as soon as I came off stage, you and Jiggy were backstage, and I walked off, and I threw open the door, and I looked at you guys, because Reno joined us too.
Yep.
And I said, that's the most fun I've had at this club.
Great.
In all the shows I've done there. And I've done a lot of fun ones, but that in particular was a complete blast.
Yeah.
And even just the, when we were doing the crowd work towards the end, mm-hmm. and I was going through and you knew exactly when to end the show.
Yeah.
It was like, I think we're all sitting there. It's one of those things where nobody's saying it, but it's like, how do we wrap this up? We got to end on a high note.
Yeah.
And then it was like, you were like, Jordan, give me the ball, give me the ball, give me the ball.
Manned it.
I set up the question. You had an excellent response. It got a huge laugh, and you're like, good night. And you just walked off. I was like, there he is. That was great.
It was really great. Really great. Good. I'm glad you had a good time doing it too. We might do that again. People want us to go to different cities. Should do it down like in Miami.
Yeah,
let's go to Miami.
No, let's go to Des Moines.
We can do Des Moines. I like Des Moines. Don't shit on Des Moines.
No, I, well.
Des Moines, why? Okay, name, okay. You're in a scenario. This is fun game. Name a shit city. Go.
Name a shit
city? Yeah, like if you're saying a story and you're like, it's at least it's not. It doesn't mean that you don't like it, but what's one of the ones you say? Because I have one that is a sleeper hit for me. I'd always go, at least not Boise, but I love Boise.
Boise's beautiful.
Isn't that so funny?
Beautiful,
Before I had gone there, it was always like, well, you're in the middle of Boise, Idaho.
I think it's because, like, I wasn't it Warner Bros., like the Looney Tunes that always made fun of Boise?
I should have made it left at Albuquerque.
I should have made it,
yeah.
I think there was something about Boise that was in our heads. Yeah, but Boise's beautiful.
Boise's a fun city name.
Ohio gets dumped on a lot.
All the time, and I love Ohio. Some of my favorite big hitters. Columbus, bring me. Knock, knock, Cincinnati. Hello, come on over. I'll move in for a minute. I don't even get me started about Dayton.
No, Dayton.
No, shit.
No, I'm kidding. Columbus is a sleeper. You know why? Here's what people don't realize. So many of the chain restaurants and fast food restaurants are head... You okay? What the fuck was that?
You're so funny because you're like so many... You're like, here's the best thing about Columbus. There's chain restaurants.
But they're all based there.
Yeah.
And the fast food restaurants are based there. So they test market a lot of things before they go nationwide there. So you'll go to McDonald's and have like McPizza before... it ever hits the streets.
There's a lot, and that's a reason
I find that exciting.
A lot of people move from there for that reason. But you know what's interesting? That a lot of their flagship stores are there, so you know you're getting the best version of the fast food chains there.
Right, yeah. You know? Yeah.
Which is weird, because the Kentucky Fried Chicken, I think, is out of there, which is doesn't make any sense.
Well, KFC just announced today they're limiting their menu and focusing on the chicken.
Coming back to the basics.
Back to the basics, yes.
I'm proud
of that. Maybe now I'll go back.
Yeah, because a lot of people stepped away from the Colonel when he started getting crazy. You know what I had growing up that I used to love from there? They had little chickens. The little chicken sandwiches, they were like sliders that had a little bit of lettuce on them. I forgot what they were named. I think they were called
Chicken Littles.
Chicken Littles, that's it.
That was it.
You're right, Chicken
Littles.
I
remember the campaign.
I called them Little Chickens. Chicken Littles.
Little Chicken Littles, yeah.
Chicken Littles were phenomenal. I used to pound those mother... I used to.
You still can't.
Oh,
you
my
won't
God.
Say it, huh?
No, I don't. Well, there's no need to.
Say it for me.
There's no need
come
to.
Come to the dark side.
Well, no. When I go off, I'll throw out that. But there was no need for that F there.
No, I know when you use it. It's when I say something
stupid, and you're talking like,
"Oh, you dumb motherfucker."
When I only say it there, but when you're being a stupid piece of shit motherfucker, then I'm gonna throw it at you, you dumbass. besides that, though.
That's my favorite. Dumb asshole. That's what you call me when I'm late for something, when I come off stage and I'm shredding a 12-year-old. You're like, you're a dumb asshole.
Yeah,
he's 12.
He's not really a smart asshole either, so the dumb doesn't make any sense there. That disclaimer to put dumb in front of it. If you're going to live a life, I guess live it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chicken Little was my jam. I love those.
What is your go-to now? Because Jiggy and I have talked about this
forever
to no end.
Well, I can't really do much at KFC now because they don't really have much of a fake chicken sandwich.
But the Impossibles.
I love the Impossible. The Impossible Whopper. On the road, where we need a fast drive through. I've been really hitting the Burger King Impossible Whoppers.
When you tried to, when you complimented the new BK retro shirts.
Oh, so great.
From the drive through guy. And they recognized you. And they're like, we're going to get you a shirt. Hold on. And they came back with an XXL that somebody had worn while there was like
grease
mayo
on it,
and grease on it. They're like, here, Joe. And you're like, what the fuck is this? Guys, I'm not working here. I wanted that shirt.
I wanted to wear like on stage, like a new one. Like
so
I thought
disgusting.
I asked if you sold it. The kid said, yeah, hold on. And he went and got somebody who clearly quit in the moment. It was like,
hold on. Remember when Terry quit and threw it in the puddle? Let's get that one.
Get Terry's dirty one out of the bag. Joe needs a shirt.
It was so disgusting.
So weird. Yeah, I would say, do you remember your first job?
Well,
not necessarily wasn't my first job, but I was working at Party City, the party discount chain, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember my mom came to visit me at work. Well, because it was in a shopping center, and
she's
was
proud of you, right?
Yeah,
she wants to come visit. Or...
No, I guess she was like shopping next door or whatever, because it was in the store. So she comes to Party City, and I was like goofing around or whatever, and she came over and she was like, "This is your career." That's what she said to me. She's like, take your job seriously. This is your career. And I'm like,
Mom, called Party City.
I'm having a party. Yeah. But it's so funny, like, to get caught by your mom at work, like, messing around.
What were you
around.
Doing?
I was just like laughing around with some friends. Oh, no, I know what I was doing. They had a helium balloon tank.
I fucking knew
so
it.
So I was doing the helium balloon.
I was literally going to say.
Yeah, yeah. I was hitting the helium up. But she had caught me there, but I guess it comes from steps where my mom was the secretary in my school, grammar school, growing up.
Oh,
and I went to St. Adalbert's grammar school.
You were always.
So she was the only, it was all nuns and my mother. So she was the only person in high heels. And the what do you call it, were cavernous, the.
Excuse me?
The hallways were cavernous. Okay. So you'd hear the click, 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 and it would just be echoing when my mother
exactly
was
when your mom
was coming. And when you got in trouble there, they had to send you to the research table, they called it. It was in the lobby, and you had to write, I won't do that again 100 times or whatever it was.
Right.
And I would hear my mom coming down the hallway, and I would like try to like hide my face.
Oh, but it was
this big table at the end of the hallway.
Did you get in trouble a lot as a kid?
Not much.
Yeah.
In eighth grade, I got a little bit because I started becoming quick-witted.
Right.
You know, I got a pass a lot because of my mom and everybody. You know, my mom was a secretary and everybody loved her. And I wasn't a bad kid by any means, but I started being like funny and quick. Mm-hmm. And some teachers didn't like that. But I remember like hearing her. So I'd always like see her. So whenever I was in trouble.
Right.
At my place of business, either school or she could visit me at work, I went right back to that place where I was like, oh, my mom caught me being bad at work. Like being bad at school. And I felt so bad.
What was it like working at Party City? Is it just balloons?
Balloons.
And then all the props and stuff.
Still fun. Me and Murray, I got Murray a job there. Murray, he got fired from there.
No way. You guys worked at Party City together?
I got Murray a job, and then Al, the manager, didn't like him and had to fire him. He's like, I got to fire your friend. I was like, I don't care. Do I still have my job?
What was Murray doing that?
He just wasn't good.
He was just being himself.
No, he was just like,
I could run and operate this store. Here's what I would do.
He wasn't like, you know, it was Party City. He was a teenager. We were 15, 16 years old. Yeah, sure, 16 years old. So whatever we're doing. But we did run the scam where we would, we stole the Halloween candy out of the trailers in the back because there was no way to account for them. There was just big boxes of candy. So we would put them in and then we would just bring them to our high school and we would just sell the candy at high school.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. We ran a scam there.
That is such like the Italian, like, I got something off
the
truck.
Back of the truck. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That is crazy.
That I literally got candies off the back of a truck.
What other jobs did you have growing up where you and one of the guys maybe worked together?
Besides the 10 years.
Besides the 10 years together,
we did on television?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the touring and then the movie? So how many more do you want of that? You mean a young Joe?
I think it's so funny to like picture you guys as teenagers working at Party City together.
Me and
Sal.
That
is so funny.
I think Sal was a bowler, too. I think Sal was in the bowling industry. I forget. No, we didn't really do any outside work. Me and Murray did that. Me and Murray hung out, you know, friendly with groups of people. Me and Sal did as well. I didn't hang out with Q that much in high school. And then Q was a toll booth collector, I think.
What?
I'm not even sure he was a toll booth collector for a minute.
Are you serious?
Yeah, after high school, before he went to college, before he was trying to figure things out. I think he always worked for the city. Like his dad was a city worker. His dad was a.
So his dad got him jobs.
His dad got him jobs. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure he was a toll booth collector. I might be making that up, but I think it's true.
I don't think there's a worse job in the world than a toll booth collector.
Did I ever tell you my favorite toll booth story?
No.
1999, me and my friends are driving.
When we were sat down, you're like, guys, are you ready?
I've got a phenomenal toll booth story. I'm driving down to 1999 into 2000. I took a cruise to turn the new year with five of my good friends, six of us. We called ourselves Six Deep. We were we had a rental van. We had a rental van, sixdeep.com. We had a website.
Two left, and then Byrne came in. It's like, Byrne, you can be part of 5 Deep, but not 6 Deep.
6 Deep. Yeah. So we did. So we drove. We rented a van, and we drove down to Florida from Jersey.
Yeah.
And to get on this Carnival cruise ship to bring in the new year. And we were blasting the whole time. It's going to party like it's 1999, right? So we're driving like 14 hours straight, all of us, right? Taking turns driving. My cousin Mike's at the helm. We're driving down. And this was back in the day when you had to pay with diamonds. Yeah. Diamonds. You had to pay... Some experience. I meant dimes with a coin.
Yeah.
So they had the buckets that you had to throw the money in. You know, they had those buckets that collected 35 cents when you were driving down the turnpike, right? So we're driving down the Jersey Turnpike and we're all laughing and singing, whatever. And my cousin Mike drives up. He's got the 2000 glasses on. Remember the glasses that said 2000?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The eyes with the O's.
Oh.
Yeah, right. So we're dancing, you know, we're all dancing, we're singing, having a good time. The trip just started. So Mike drives through and he goes and he has the 35 cents and he's dancing. He just throws it out the window and he didn't realize that he pulled into where there was a collector. He just hits this woman in the face with 35 cents and she's just standing there. And I'm pretty sure it was all nickels. So it was like seven nickels. So Mike's face drops, and all in the back, it's dead quiet in the car, and all he hears on the radio is "Gonna party like it's 1999," and he's like,
"King, what the fuck, guys?"
Taking shrapnel. This little woman, I remember, I will never forget her face, and she's like, "Ah!" It was just seven nickels. I was like, "Oh, sorry," but then we still had to pay the toll, so we had to awkwardly look through the ashtray for the change as she stood there. Yeah, and he's like, "Oh, funny. I'm sorry." It's one of the funniest things ever.
Completely hit her.
That was a weird day for that woman. I wonder if she tells that story. We said, think about that from her perspective. She was like, these six Italian guys wearing 2,000 glasses, rolling up, listening to Prince, assaulted me with nickel.
I'm sure they've got some crazy stories. Tobles, yeah. You must see some. And then the people that can't pay or...
Yeah.
What do you do if you can't pay a toll?
Yeah, well, now it's easier because they just take your thing and they send you the bill in the mail. But back in the day, I think it would eventually, like, if you rolled up and you're like, I don't have the 35 cents, where they're like, all right, go ahead. Like, well, no, there's no accounting for it. There's no cameras, right? So it's up to the toll collector, I guess, the troll at the bridge. She got pelted with nickel.
Walloped.
Yeah.
To give you a ticket. I used to get tickets all the time in Florida.
Oh, you get
if
a
you
ticket?
You didn't have the cash.
They would hand you a ticket. And you'd have to pay more than this.
You had to pay a fine for not having the plus the fee.
Oh my goodness.
So it was like $70 or $50 or whatever it was, plus 72 cents or whatever.
What a markup on that.
What a markup. I would just run it because what are they going to do back in the day?
By the way, that's like the same when there were meters here in the city.
Yeah.
If you didn't have 50 cents, the markup, I forget the percentage markup, it was like 500%. Yeah. Like, what the?
Yeah, you're paying a $60 bill plus the 50 cents. It's crazy. Yeah. Well, you know, good thing there's Easy Pass now. My peeps at Easy Pass. One of the best innovations, I think.
The best.
Out there. Up there with the microwave.
Even when you get the car rental, pull that out of the metal casing.
I love that. It's so fun.
Yeah.
You unsheath it.
It's official. I belong. Yeah. All right, should we get
it? Let's do it. Let's help some people.
Two Cool Moms.
Thank you for submitting your questions at Two Cool Moms. At Two Cool Moms on Instagram. At Two Cool Moms Pod on Instagram. Thank you so much. And please remember to follow, send it to your friends.
So we have a mom to be celebrated. Should we start it off with that?
Yeah.
Okay, let's start
it's off. It's our 50th.
It's our 50th. So we're celebrating moms.
Yes.
And she wrote this, and I thought this was very sweet. This comes to us from Celeste.
Okay, Celeste.
Hi, Joe and Steve. My name is Celeste. I just listened to your podcast about sending in photos of our moms and why they're the coolest. My mom, Lita, passed when I was 18. She was truly amazing and selfless. She made sure I had the best... I could, like, cry when I hear it, when I read this, but she made sure I had the best experience, everything we did. She did so much for my friends who were in need of anything. She loved comedy, but unfortunately, she didn't get to listen... or watch you guys. Thank you guys for brightening my mornings with your podcast. Love you guys. And posted a picture of her mom. Her mom's quite the looker back in the day. So,
oh,
yeah.
Lita.
Lita, I think what struck a chord was when she said she tried to make the best of everything, of every situation. And I think that any parent can relate to that.
For sure.
Like when you have kids, it's just like, we're going to have the best day ever.
Yeah. I feel that you're a fixer. If your kids are having a bad day, you want to make them laugh and feel better instead of go through it.
Yeah. You also want to talk it out. I talk to my kids like they're adults, though.
Yeah.
So I don't dumb things down or whatever. I'll use the vocabulary I use when talking to anybody. You call
them dumb assholes? I say that to my son all the time. Yeah. Stop being a dumb asshole.
Do you really? No, I'm kidding. I just beat him. I just beat my kid relentlessly.
That's it. That
give him a cold steak. I'm like, put it on your eye like a man. But yeah, I talked to him. You remember the old cold steak back in the cartoons?
Does that work? I don't think that works.
But my my son, what I really love about that he's discovered lately is Looney Tunes.
Oh yeah,
best. He loves Looney Tunes and loves
Shut up.
Yeah. But now it's like fun. Every week we go back, and before he goes to bed, he's like, "Can I watch two?" I'm like, "Yeah, let's watch two."
Right.
And it's I don't know. It's just nostalgic. But I think when you're a kid, you don't even realize how funny those were.
For sure.
Back in the day, but
for sure. I think I try to tether the balance between let them go through their feels. My daughter is super super. Like emotional and doesn't know how to handle that when she's not feeling happy.
Sure.
Like she has just a tough time not being happy. She's such a happy kid. So when she's not happy, she just doesn't know why. Like she said to me once, she's like, I don't know why I'm not happy. And she didn't realize she was bothered, so we had to talk it out and figure out what was
Is that
happening.
When you turned off the show and said, okay, I don't want you to have to watch my show anymore and make you want
It was close. It was Sullivan and Son. So...
Daddy, why do you keep working with that Asian Elon Musk? Please
leave him alone.
He's bringing you down.
She loves Stevie. She loves you. She always asks how
I had a great time with her, right? By the way.
I mean, I took her on the road. Yeah, she asked about you all the time.
She's one of those kids that just like you could tell when she's on the playground, it's like, you want to be friends? You want to be friends? Let's be friends. Hey, who wants to be friends?
Yeah.
Let's all do this together. She was just like getting me over, giving me markers. We're going to color this together. I'm like, this is so cool to see a kid that outgoing.
Yeah, she's pretty cool.
Yeah.
She's pretty cool, man. But it's when you have that, I always like, if she's upset, I'm like, I want to get why she's upset, but I also want to make her laugh and, you know, forget about being upset, you know? So it's hard to do that. I've always been trying to be that. But my mother was always like, super like, you know, life sucks. Don't worry about it. Go ahead. Yes. Like one of those, you know, kind of things. So any adversity that came through, I would try to barrel through it. But I don't know how much I would be like, being a father now and looking back, like I don't know how much I would process what was going on.
Right.
I don't know how much that molds your perspective, right? It's nature versus nurture, right?
Sure.
So I think a lot of like my just like, boom, it's all right. You know, we'll get through this. You know, life sucks right now. Don't worry, we'll get it. You got to just suck harder. Like do what you got to do there.
Right.
So I wonder like how my kids are going to be equipped with it, because I try to find the balance. I try to keep my mom's steadfast optimism. It's okay. You'll get through it.
Sure.
You're stronger than you think, blah, 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 that kind of stuff. But then also it's kind of like, all right, this is why this sucked. Like, let's take a minute to live in it, which I don't know if I did much when I was little.
Yeah, I think I think sometimes when you're, there's so many different variables of why you're upset or whatever. But I think if it's something that you caused, right, then it's like, all right, well, let's regress. And what are you accountable for? What did you do wrong?
Mm.
My daughter the other day, she came home and she was saying how she feels excluded from, you know, there's three kids that pal around together that are best friends. And we all know when there's three, somebody's going to be the outcast and you just kind of revolve. And so she was explaining how she's the outcast right now.
Yeah.
With these two friends. And you know how... this girl's this, this girl's this, this girl's this. And then the conversation goes, okay, well, what did you do? You know, what did you do? Did you do anything? And then as we start peeling back the layers, we discover that, yeah, there was something
right,
that she did.
Right, accountability, yeah.
So it's like, okay, so do you think she appreciated that? It's like, no, she wouldn't. Would you appreciate that if it happened to you? That's why you're in this situation. So don't do it again.
Yeah.
And now you're on the outs and you put her in that situation. Now you know how it feels. So don't put anybody in that situation. Be inclusive. Always be inclusive. I always tell my kids that. But it sometimes it just takes a little peeling back. And I always try to make them know you got to be accountable for everything. I think, you know, it starts with me. I got to be accountable for
sure.
A lot of things I do. That's why I come home and bring home toys, because I'm not home. And my wife's like, stop. You can't buy your way out of this. You just got to spend as much time with them as you can. You know, so
you're home.
Got to be accountable.
For sure. I stopped doing that buying on the road thing. I stopped it.
It's the worst trap.
Stopped it cold.
Yeah.
I did. And it's interesting because now when I come home, the kids are excited to see me. And it's like, Dad, you're home. And it's like, not questions. Would you get me? Like,
exactly,
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
So.
But it is kind of fun.
It is fun. But I like to shop for them. So it's hard.
Yeah.
And you miss them when you're on the road. So it's a delicate balance. Hey, listen, the bottom line is momming ain't easy. So much love to all you moms out there, especially Celeste's mom. We love you and support you all. Lita.
Yeah. And by the way, one of the other things I saw in the thing about Lita that I just want to bring up is that
she's not a follower.
Well,
she's a Lita. It took you a minute to get
how
there.
Long,
I threw it out,
how long
and there we go.
Were you sitting on that?
I swear to God, just now.
Just now.
Just made it up. Yeah,
oh
when you said her
God.
Name. When you said her
that's
name.
Great. But another thing, that's the social clip. You have to put it, we'll put up the picture, Lita, and then. And
there you go.
But another aspect of being a parent, I think, that you don't realize is that when your kids have their friends coming over and stuff, that her mom was so nice and inviting to all her friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like when I was growing up, my father was like the super cool dad. My mom, all kids love my mom.
Yeah.
Even, you know, even now people meet my mom. They're like, oh my God, your mom's so nice. So I was always appreciative of that. So when my kids or their friends are over, you know, our neighborhood at 4:30, I mean, these kids just are raiding pantries and bouncing between homes. And whenever they come in, I try to make it a point to, you know their names. How are you doing? How's your day going? You guys having fun? And be outgoing to them. And again, talk to them like adults.
Yeah, yeah.
As well.
That's cool. That's cool because you want the house to be part of it. Like my house, there was always there's always extra dish at my table.
That was your, but you said when you were, that was your house was the place, so welcoming to everybody.
100%. Yeah. And I try to do the same thing with mine, but it's kind of harder because it's not my house anymore. So it's still a little tricky there. I'm glad I'm allowed over.
My God. That is just crazy. That is, all right. Well, we'll talk about that off the air.
There we go.
Okay. Here we go. This is coming to us from Teresa.
Teresa.
Oh, you know what? I wanted to do this one.
Okay. Let's do this one.
Because I saw this one and I thought this would be a lot of fun. Okay. This is coming to us from Brady.
Brady.
Brady, I love the fact that you just get right to the point.
Oh, love these.
I love these.
Direct.
These are great. Okay. Star Wars or Spaceballs?
Oh, Spaceballs. What are you being crazy? What are you being a nut? You're being a nutcase. Mel Brooks, my icon, my role model growing up, my favorite influence in my life, Mel Brooks.
Have you seen the new History of the World Part 2?
It didn't come out yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about it?
I heard that it's phenomenal.
Really?
It's a four-day event starting March 4th.
Four-day event?
Yeah. Yeah, it's over 4 days, and it's got so many cameos in it. I was left out.
I always thought his autobiography that he wrote that came out, 6 months ago? I saw the title and I just started. I laughed at the title, and it's just him on the cover, black and white. It says, "It's all about me."
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, "That's so great."
So great. I mean, I think space. I mean, without Star Wars, there's no space balls, right?
So that's the question, though. But I'd worked with Colin Jost recently. He had a great joke about Spaceballs and Star Wars. He's like, yeah, I was a kid, and when I was a kid, Spaceballs had just come out, so I saw Spaceballs. And I'd never seen Star Wars. And then years later, I saw Star Wars. I'm like, oh, this is just a ripoff of Spaceballs.
This is just unfunny Spaceballs.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought was funny.
I mean, I love, Spaceballs isn't my favorite Mel Brooks film, but it's definitely up there. I think it's really
funny.
What
is your favorite Mel Brooks?
I love History of the World Part 1. I think it's phenomenal. My favorite, Young Frankenstein is my favorite out of all of them.
Because
it's a movie. It's a film. It's fantastic. It's got heart. It's unbelievable. It's so funny. Yeah. Gene Wilder is untouchable in it. Blazing Saddles is great too. But I mean, for me, it's the only one I didn't get into that people really liked was High Anxiety.
I never saw that one.
Yeah, it was one of the ones I watched and I was like, oh, not as, it didn't connect as much as everything else for me. But yeah, I love Young Frankenstein.
But that's his take on Vertigo, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, the Hitchcock.
Hitchcock's. Yeah. Yeah.
He did like elevated, I wouldn't even call them spoofs, but he did elevated kind of, you know.
He hid movies inside of spoofs, like Scary Movies are just straight, like the movie, Scary Movies are just set up joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. They're taking a trope, they're changing it, doing whatever.
He had a real narrative.
But he had a narrative inside his movies, which he's a comedic filmmaker.
Right.
While making fun of another genre, which I thought was so
and
fun.
And it's unbelievable. The guy's in his 90s now.
Yep.
And he's still there. I'd seen an interview with him recently, and he was very, you know, he wasn't like your classic 90-year-old where they're kind of losing it. He was very, very
energetic, honest. Sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny. Still had the sense of humor. I don't know. There's something about like when you see Jerry Lewis in his 70s or it was just like, that's not funny anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Put that down. Right? That's what you're thinking? That's what you're going to say? Somebody should put that down.
Yeah. Take me on the shed.
Come here, Grandpa.
But Mel Brooks,
I found a cardinal.
He still got it.
Yeah, for sure.
I would say Star Wars.
You say Star Wars?
Star Wars is the like it defines my childhood. But Indiana Jones.
He wasn't in Star Wars.
He's not in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. But that was my favorite growing up. Hands down, the greatest. And so when I saw the trailer come out for the new one that just came out, I'm like, you know, I go to Apple Trailers all the time, my Apple TV.
I watch Apple Trailers as much as I watch regular TV. I just love that.
100%.
So fun.
My wife will walk in and be like, are you watching that trailer again? It's a trailer.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, but I'm like trying to
dissect it. Yeah.
And I had my kids, I'm like, guys, we got to watch the Indiana Jones trailer. It just came out. Let's watch it together. Watch it. Just waterworks. Complete waterworks.
Awesome.
And my daughter's like, are you crying? I go, yeah. She's like, why? And I'm like, Yeah, I guess, you know, I saw my father cry once when his father passed away.
Oh, really?
That's the only time I saw my father cry. I've cried in front of my kids.
Countless.
Where to begin? I'll see commercials.
Oh, like, there you go.
Oh, that's fucking so sweet. That's so special. Trailers.
These marshmallows are delicious.
I've never cried from a meal.
Yeah.
I've known people to. Have you really?
Oh, my goodness. This pappardelle was from heaven. This pappardelle was from heaven. No, it was right after.
You are a fatty.
I am
if
a fatty.
You cried well,
I was. I was. I would cry. I cried while I was eating because the food reminded me of something.
So that's what
it was. So there was a nostalgia
okay,
to it.
What was it?
I had my father had just passed away, I had a prosciutto and mozzarella sandwich that he liked, and we'd always get prosciutto and mozzarella sandwiches together. And I was eating it.
How funny would it be if you're just somebody walking by and you see some dude eating his sandwich?
Have you tried the prosciutto?
Dude, just put it down. It's so sad. No. What the fuck's wrong with you?
I was eating and driving. Just walk away from the sandwich, you fat fuck. I was eating and driving a prosciutto and mozzarella sandwich with balsamic glaze, not vinegar, because that's the difference. And I was driving and
the glaze holds.
Yes, it holds nicely.
It doesn't spill.
It doesn't sog the bread up. Don't if you're doing a vinegar, step up your sandwich game, get yourself a balsamic glaze.
There you go.
GLAZE. So I'm eating a prosciutto and mozzarella sandwich in the car. I'm driving my Saturn.
Yeah.
And on the radio is Will Smith's Just the Two of Us, which just had happened. It came out right after my father passed. So that's my song. So it was just all things were firing.
Sure,
and I'm singing Just the Two of Us.
Perfect storm.
Just the two of us. Eating prosciutto in the sky. And I had the window down. I was like, I love you, Dad. And so I was driving down Richmond Avenue. True story.
Oh man.
Yeah, so I've cried over a meal.
So that was his go-to.
Hey, we used to get them together. Like he would take me to A&S, the Sal Maria by me, and he would like, let's go get sandwiches, and we would bring it home for everybody. And we would go to a sandwich shop. And I do that with my son now with this place called Jumelli's that's by me. I was like, let's go, we gotta get food for everybody, and he loves it. And I'm like, it feels very nice to be able to carry that.
This is such a tough question to ask, but reflexively, what is just a memory that you have of your father that just always makes you happy?
We used to go shopping in the Staten Island Mall, and I was younger, and I remember this now because I remember what it's like to be in a mall and you're with your mother and two sisters when they had to go clothes shopping.
Right,
and
right.
My dad was like, they didn't leave me. It was a Saturday, and we'd have to go. And my dad used to keep me engaged with what was going on.
Right.
He used to hold the bags for me and let me. It was right after like Karate Kid came out, and he let me practice my karate on them while we were standing outside. And he would just stand
awesome.
There and just let me kick the bags as we did it. And he would tell me, okay, hi, use your left leg, like hit around, like, you know, and just do that. And I remember, and then he would send me like on little missions, and he would be like, oh, he's like, oh, over there, I think I see a bad guy. And I would go over and I would give like a karate chop to one of the planters, like he would be, like pretend.
Sure.
And he would just be totally engaged with me while we were shopping.
And you were 18.
And I was, it's crazy, 19, right? Which was crazy. Because he was 1 year dead, so I would just carry around his skeleton and hear his voice. I get some crazy looks. I'm eating a prosciutto and mozzarella sandwich. I'm like, eat it, Dad. I can see it in your belly. Building castles in the sky. Just whoosh, Indiana.
Oh, God.
Me. All right. We got time for another one, yeah?
Okay.
Great.
Coming to us from Kenzie.
Oh, Kenzie.
It's a great name.
I love Kenzie. What a great name, Kenzie.
By the way, when you get, like, if you're at Hooters and they're like, have a seat. Kenzie's going to be here
you're
a second.
Kenzie.
You're like, we got a good
somebody's going to be fun. Kenzie's just a fun name.
A
I hope the
name.
Person matches the fun.
It's a cool, it's like a cool chick name.
Cool
chick. The cool sarcastic girls like Aubrey Plaza off on the corner.
It's Kenzie.
Yeah. You want to hang at Denny's with Kenzie
tonight? Yeah,
Kenzie.
Love it.
Fuck yeah.
Love
she's going to shit on everybody.
What's her name?
Jocks.
Mackenzie? No.
No.
Kenzie.
Kenzie.
Yes, that's great.
All right, here we go. How to deal with someone who's practically in love with you, but you've already told them repeatedly you wouldn't want a relationship with them, but they still treat you as if you're exclusively dating. Getting angry, upset when other people take an interest in you, etc. I don't want to hurt his feelings, but I told him from the get-go, and he still behaves as if I don't know what I want. So she's friends with somebody
who thinks that they're
dating.
That's tough. I mean, You've laid it out pretty. It's no longer on you, right? As long as you're being clear and direct.
She's established parameters.
Well, she's saying that, but let's hope that she's acting accordingly, right?
Yeah.
Because you might just be thinking, he might be misreading any signals or anything that you're doing. So if you're taking a true look at yourself and what you're doing, and you're doing everything above board, and you're not like, you know, treating any, you know, you're not taking advantage of the situation where somebody, because you see that a lot where people take advantage of the situation where somebody likes you.
Sure, yeah.
And you're like, oh, this person likes me. So yeah, you act a certain way. But if you're being above board across the board, that's not on you. That's not your problem, Kenzie. Like, you just make sure that you've been clear and direct. The other thing is, like, tell, you know, be straight up. Be like, look, we can't hang out anymore if you're going to be like this.
Yeah, I would wonder how good of a friend is he?
Yes.
Like, if he's a great friend, if the friendship supersedes those emotions and he is there for you, he's there to listen or whatever, you know, I would take stock of how good of a friend you actually are with this individual. Because if you're not, just cut cord.
Ooh,
and
interesting take,
go
yeah.
on. Because I mean, nobody wants to be put in
it's
that situation.
Healthy. It's not no. healthy.
Look, it definitely happens to a lot more girls than guys. I think especially in your early 20s, which she looks like she's in her early 20s, that's a tough age because everybody's trying to find their own identity at that particular time. And guys, you know, if you got a crush on somebody and you're hanging out with them constantly and you would love more, it's like, yeah, that's a tough spot to be in for that guy too, because then all of a sudden it's like, well, why do you keep hanging out with me then?
Yeah. Like, were you a piner? Were you a piner?
I remember I was in college and this girl, she's like, you know who you are? And I was like, who? She's like, Lloyd Dobler. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, from Say Anything, you're a great friend. And I was just like, oh, fuck. But I really was, and I remember just I would go hang out in girls' dorm rooms and just to hang.
And wait for them to get back. Oh, what are you doing here?
I'll throw the condom out for you. How was he?
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed, like, I used to get made fun of at the Cellar all the time by certain comedians. They'd be like, so you just hang out with girls? Like, and I was like, yeah, you know, it wasn't always about trying to
hook up
or whatever. Yeah.
I was a piner.
Yeah. I could see it. Yeah. There's a
hopeless romantic stuck in there. Yeah. Yeah. I was a piner my freshman year. Poor Megan Donahue. Freshman year of college. I was just absolutely just
straight to the other neighborhood. You went Irish.
Huh? I did. It was crazy. I don't know what about her, but there's something about Megan Donahue for sure. It was
Virginia.
There was a
Catholic girls.
There was three of them. There was a group of three girls that were together, Tara, Danielle, and Megan.
Yeah.
And I ended up being great friends with all of them throughout college. And it ended up, but I pined after Megan pretty hard. I actually used to write poems and slide them under her door of her dorm room. What I thought was anonymously, not realizing that she was like, knew it was me and saw her coming through the thing. And they did like this, they did this sorority raffle where like they did. So I used to write poems. She lived upstairs from me. She used to write poems. And I'd wait till like 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And I would like sneak down the hallway and I would go and slide in and I would run in and go right down the stairwell and come back to my room.
If she brought one of those poems out.
Oh my God.
I mean, how?
I was a pretty good poet, though.
Would you consider yourself pretty decent?
Or yes, is
it,
I would.
Would it be embarrassing?
It'd be embarrassing because they were probably very love poemy to a stranger who probably showed zero interest in me. So from the loser aspect, it'd probably be pretty embarrassing. But they're probably good prose.
Did you ever?
It's probably good prose.
Did you ever structurally, Steve?
Structurally,
we're talking foundation.
I'm not haiku. I mean, if you take it down to basics, I've got great rhyming schemes.
Did you ever approach her like in person?
Pentameter.
Did you ever go up to her and be like, hey, could we go out sometime?
Yeah, and she was like,
shut you down.
Now, well, here's what happened. They did a sorority auction where you could like win a date for charity kind of thing. And so I won her by like borrowing money from everybody. I bought it like, and it was like a gross overestimated. Like, I just didn't want you. So like girls were getting both like, this is college, you know, in 19, you know, late 90s. People were like,
Cassie,
$30.
$30. And now we have Miss Donahue and
$4,000.
What the?
I did. I got like $300. I paid for like $300 to get it because I didn't want to get outbid or whatever. And people knew that I wanted to buy it. So people were like outbidding.
$3,000.
And people were pushing, but like running it up because they knew that I was going to, you know, it was no secret that I was obsessed with her. So then we ended up like going on that date and I was just super nervous and I just like tried to talk and she was like, yeah, no shit, you like me. And I was like, but she was super nice and sweet. Cool. And she was like, I'm just not interested in you and whatever. Sure. And I was like, fine. And then she was like, you know, but I would honestly like to be friends with you still. And I was like, fine. And I was friends with Danielle and Tara as well. And the three of them like are inseparable. And I was like, sure. I said, I guess we could be friends. And that at the same time is when I like started being like in the fraternity and they were in a sorority. So we just ended up all being good friends.
Oh, that's
and
good. Yeah.
She got a boyfriend and whatever. And it was fine. And I had gotten my girlfriend and we were all just friendly.
Yeah.
My girlfriend actually ended up in the same sorority as her. So it was just fine. But I was definitely like a piner. I always, even like after that, like I could just see I pined for people. I'm a piner.
And what take me through pining.
What's with the smirk? What's with the smirk? Yeah, it's that. Like my heart has that face. Like what? A lot of what ifs. A lot of why nots.
Hold her hand.
I had like a lot of long distance like stuff, and I was like, oh, yeah. If we only. The winds were changing. If the winds were blowing in a different direction.
Are you astrological? You follow that stuff?
Not at all. I fell in love with a girl. Who was worked at a store that I used to drive by all the time at Giggle. And
wait, what?
I worked at Giggle and downtown. Oh, Soho.
Okay.
And there was this girl who worked at the store. I forgot what it was. It was a high end store.
Yeah.
You know, they sold cool bags or whatever. And I used to see her all the time. Mm-hmm. And I just would park my car in front of there, and that's where the spots were normally. So right. I'd walk by and I'd see her and I'd wave. And one day I remember I waved and she was like, I just waved, whatever. Then one day I went in to just shop around, pretend I was shopping for my sister to talk to her. She seemed really nice, whatever. And we had a nice rapport, realizing she probably worked on commission. So then one day it was raining.
Right.
And I thought this was such a pimp ass move. It was raining. And I go to my car and I opened the door and I grabbed an umbrella.
Yeah.
And I went in and I wrote a note and I said, if you want to return this umbrella, here's my number. And I went in and I asked her, I said, hey, it's raining pretty bad out there. She goes, yeah. I said, did you bring an umbrella? She said, no. I said, you could have mine. And I presented my umbrella with the note on the
inside.
Oh, that's
pretty cool.
And never heard from her.
Never heard from her again?
And she quit that store and she was gone forever. Oh. So she's there.
She quit the next day and moved.
She's gone. Yeah. She's like this crazy ass stalker. Isn't
she killed herself.
Probably. With the umbrella. I like to think she got struck by lightning because she had the umbrella. And that's how she went. But yeah. Yeah, I'm a romantic piner. I don't know what it was or is. I don't know.
You know what's great? I was walking to the Comedy Store one night because I used to live on Sunset.
Yeah.
By Bristol Farms. So I would walk like the 3/4 of a mile. I remember one day I was walking to the hotel, which is now the Andaz Hotel. And they had this great, like, you know, window that showcased the bar.
Yeah.
And there was this booth and it was like the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen in my life. And she was just sitting there and talking. And I just kind of like, you know, you just kind of like gobsmacked. Like, what the fuck? And I just kept walking. And there's probably every month or so, like I'll be in LA or I'll walk to the store, or I'll drive past that Andaz or I'll be staying at the Andaz and I'll go to Carney's and get a hot dog. And then I look in like thinking I'm going to see, it's weird that just 5 seconds, that right. one individual.
Crazy.
It's, I don't know.
And then
this is how
surprise, happy 50th. Here she is.
Hey, there we go.
Woman from the booth. Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. That's just, you know, so like Valentine's Day just happened. So did you do anything for Valentine's Day? What do you do? Do you like, what's your regimen with the missus?
I mean, we're just so comfortable with each other. And to be honest with you, she'll get upset if I spend money on her.
That's what they say.
Don't spend money on me.
That's what they say.
Don't. But if you do, they're really happy.
Yeah.
Right? Like Christmas came and she's like, don't spend anything on me. We're making a pact. Don't spend anything. I was like, all right, I'm not going to spend anything. And I got her like two really nice gifts. And I was just like, look, you've been through the ringer this year. Really appreciate everything. Thank you so much. And she's like, oh, well, I stuck to the pack. I didn't get you anything. I'm like, because you say it and then you think, she didn't. But yeah, I probably spoil myself anyways. How about you? Are you?
I'm romantic.
Are you romantic come Valentine's Day?
Oh, for sure.
But even like knee deep in on a relationship, like you've been together for a long time. You still bring out the bells and whistles?
I do. I try to. Yeah. I started a pretty cool tradition, which I liked, and I'm glad we do it. And my son likes it now, too, where I buy a rose for Milana, my daughter, and he buys a rose for his mother. And she saves them in these boxes. So we have the years, all the, and I started when Milano was one.
That's pretty cool.
So I started when Milano was, I think, two or three. Yeah. And she saves them and puts them in the year. And they've had these matching rose boxes. And it's every year's a dried out rose that she got from him and that my daughter got from me. I think that's pretty cute.
And you never get to see it.
No, it's at the house. Thanks for listening to the Two Cool Moms. It's been a very good episode. I hope everyone's enjoyed it. I'm going to go punch myself in the face. Good night.
These two cool mommies love you, so show us some love.
Please rate us, review us, follow us on all social media, and subscribe to our YouTube.